I knew I was going to be very successful because I discovered the things necessary for success and I was determined to practice in them.
In this apt message, Your Finances and You, Pastor Chris shares amazing truths that would extricate any believer from any form of value creation constraint. Be blessed as you listen.
But I want to bring your mind to something quite interesting. Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 25. Yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger and he that ministered to my wants. This is really beautiful. I'll tell you why. Now, first of all, it's one word that's translated companion in labor. It actually means fellow laborer. But this time in the King James, they broke it into these three words, companion in labor. It's one word, fellow laborer. So Epaphroditus was said to be a fellow laborer and a fellow soldier. They're not many in the New Testament that were called fellow laborers and fellow soldiers. Some were fellow laborers, but not fellow soldiers. They're not the same thing. A worker and a soldier are not the same. Even with our own structure of society, it's easy for us to understand. The policemen and the soldiers are not the same, right? Those in the civil service and those in the military are not the same. The soldiers don't join labor unions. But I kind of like this guy here, this Epaphroditus guy. Let's go back to him there. Look at that scripture. It's quite wonderful. Fellow laborer and fellow soldier. There are not many that were called fellow soldiers. There are several that were referred to. You read your Bible. There are several of them that were referred to as fellow laborers. A fellow laborer, a fellow worker, fellow laborer. Companion in labor. These are all the same word. But then he calls this guy a fellow soldier. And Timothy, who was a young man, he didn't even refer to him as a fellow soldier. He was encouraging him into Christian military service. Remember, I read to you yesterday what he told him. He was still bringing him up. He referred to him several times as a fellow worker or fellow laborer. But then in 2 Timothy chapter 2, from verse 1, let's read again. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Watch. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who had chosen him to be a soldier. See. Showing this guy he's enlisted, but he has not told him that he's a fellow soldier. Every time he called him a fellow laborer. See, sure, he became a soldier, Sure. I'll show you another guy. Go to Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. He says, "And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it." Archippus. In his church in Colossae. Now, when you read the church in Ephesus, it referred to several congregations in Ephesus. Not just one congregation. There were several congregations. They broke them into several house fellowships, house churches. Most of their churches held in houses. So the church in Ephesus had different congregations. So they had different leaders. At the time, where we just read a message to Timothy, he was the pastor of the church in Ephesus. And he was told how to pick leaders. Leaders. Overseers of different congregations in Ephesus. Titus was to do the same. So now, this letter is to the church in Colossae. Several congregations. And the man, the young guy, Archippus, is to be told a message from Paul. Take heed to the ministry that you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. See, God's not going to make you fulfill it. You are the one to pay attention to the ministry that you have received. To fulfill it. He says, take heed, pay attention to the ministry that you have received in the Lord, that you fulfill it. Because there are those who will receive ministry in the Lord and will not fulfill it. So Archippus is being told to pay attention so he would not miss it. Now, there was a man in the Bible, a wealthy guy, who housed one of the congregations in Colossae. So he provided accommodation for the church, for this congregation, this house church in Colossae. And Archippus became the leader of that congregation. He had grown. This was many years later. And by this time, Paul had advanced in years in his work. So he wrote a letter to Philemon. Philemon is the man. The wealthy guy who had this church in his home. Now let's read. Philemon is only one chapter. So go to chapter 1 and let's read from verse number 1. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. Did you see that? So he's our fellow laborer. He's working together with us. He's helped us get a place for church, you see. Right? So they're winning souls. That's wonderful. Let's keep reading. And to our beloved Apphia, who was historically assumed to be his wife. And to Archippus. That's that Archippus. Our fellow soldier. He's become tough now. Not just a fellow laborer, he's a fellow soldier. There was a time he was being advised to stay focused and pay attention. But now, a fellow soldier. How do you like that for your growth? He had become a fellow soldier. Think about it. One of the very few to be named, mentioned as a fellow soldier. There are things fellow laborers do. There are things fellow soldiers do. Soldiers fight. They're the ones that go for war. They fight. They put their lives on the line. So when we say this is war, you have some who are civilians, spiritual civilians. They don't like that word. When we say war, they say, ah, I didn't come for that. I preached a message years ago titled, "This is War." Many years ago. It is war. So, you have fellow laborers, and you have what? Fellow soldiers. Which one are you? I told you, not everyone was called both. Glory be to God. So you want to be a fellow laborer and a fellow soldier. Not just a fellow laborer alone and not a fellow soldier alone. You want to be both. I am functional in time of peace and in time of war. See, in time of peace, what do they tell the soldiers to do? Every man to the barrack. Go to the barrack. Go to the barrack. And while they're in the barrack, they're practicing for war. And if there's no war that whole year, they continue practicing for the next year. That's what they're doing. But they're not allowed in the civil society as soldiers. They don't function as soldiers. Except there's a serious problem. But if you are both a fellow laborer and a fellow soldier, you are functional in time of peace and in time of war. So what are you? Glory be to God. All right, what I want to discuss with you today, your finances and you. I want to discuss your finances. When we complicate matters of finances, you know the result. Money doesn't come to those who know how to spell it. It comes to those who know how to manage it. Right? So, my definitions that I'm going to give you are the simplest definitions that work. Definitions that work. So let's begin. What is finance? I said your finances and you. Now, often the word finance in general grammatical communication is put in plural. Finances. All right? Often. So, but when you want to define, you have to speak in singular terms to make sense. So what is finance? Simplest definition. the management of money. Now follow my simple definitions, because professors of economics, a lot of them don't have money. So remember. So they can break this down. If you ask them what is finance, by the time they are done, they've spent half an hour breaking it down. So it becomes so complicated that you understand why most countries are in debt and most central banks of most countries are in debt. Why is there so much debt in the world? Because men have complicated their lives in financial matters. If you went into the academic definition of finance, you'd be surprised to see the word banking inside. Why would banking be there at all? There were finances before banking came. So why should it be part of the definition? It shows one thing. A manipulation of the definition. Follow my simple definitions, because you are not defining this to get a PhD. This discussion is to make you have money in abundance. There used to be one joke they had years ago of two men that were arguing about the pronunciation of a certain car. So around that time was when they released this car, Pathfinder. And the man said, "This is my Pathfinder." And the other one said, "That's not how to pronounce it." And he argued again and again. Finally, the owner said, "It's enough. You know the pronunciation. I have the car." So someone owns the pronunciation. Another one has the car. Some people have the definitions of finance. Thank you. So simplest definition of finance is the management of money. Question, what is money? If the management of money is the definition of finance, what then is money? Because I'm saying the management of something called money. So what is money? Again, they have what they call academic definitions of money by people that don't have it. But I want to give you these simple definitions. Money is something generally accepted as a medium of exchange, a measure of economic value, and a means of payment. With this simple definition, therefore, learn to see money in everything. Why? Because poverty or wealth is dependent on these two simple statements. These two simple statements I just made, one on finance. I said, what is finance? The management of money. That's statement number one. Statement number two is on what therefore is money. So I said it's a means of exchange, a measure of economic value. which is very, very important. And of course, the means of payment. I said, learn to see money in everything. That is to say, that part that I just told you, a measure of economic value, is vital. I'm saying, learn to see economic value in everything. I'm trying to break down a number of things for you. Okay, so with these two statements, you can tell where someone is on the economic bar. Towards poverty or towards wealth. You're either closer to the poverty end or closer to the wealth end. All right. So the first thing is to understand what is finance. Okay? That's the first thing. Because my topic is your finances and you. So the first thing is to even understand what finance is. And I said that it is the management of money. So the next thing you need is an understanding of the independence of finance. The independence of finance. You know, many people think finances are dependent on this and this and that and the other. So they put them on several factors. But until and unless you come to the realization of the independence of finance, your ability to manage money will be very limited. This is the year of redemption. See, and in the year of redemption, one of the things we said was individuals and nations must extricate themselves from agreements and treaties of limitations. So we have to understand the independence of finance. They don't want you to know this. They can't teach this. They won't teach them this in finance classes. I'm going to tell you. Let's begin. I want to give you three important ideas on the independence of finance. You know, for something like this, all right, I produce them from the workings of my own spirit. That, okay, how have I dealt with these things? How have I dealt with money? The first idea you must catch from the Word, and all these things are from the Word of God. The first one is unlimited environment. Money. All right? The independence of finance. The first one, the first idea you must have is that you play in an unlimited environment. That's where finance is. Money is there. Unlimited environment. Now, if you think I'm working in this office, you are limiting your environment. Can you see it? If you're thinking, my salary is such and such, and so because of where I work, you have a limited environment. In Christ Jesus, you have been brought into an unlimited environment. If you follow the teachings that we have given you, it'll be impossible to lack, to be broke, to be limited financially. Impossible, irrespective of your level. It's got nothing to do with your level. Do you remember Joseph, who was a slave in the house of Potiphar? Potiphar bought him with money. How was Joseph described? He was described as a prosperous man. Because of him, Potiphar became blessed. He made Potiphar rich. Joseph. From there, he was introduced to Pharaoh. He made Pharaoh rich. In the process, he made Egypt rich. Because among his brothers, he thought differently. He had a different spirit. He had a dream. In fact, he had two dreams. And these dreams are not dreams that should normally be taken seriously. Here is the interesting thing. The dreams are not supposed to be taken seriously. And I can prove that through the scriptures. Most people take negative dreams seriously and it destroys their lives. Dreams are not supposed to be taken seriously. And yet, there can be a dream that you decide to take seriously. I preached a message 1990. How many years ago is that? 1990, titled Cream Your Dreams. Did anybody ever see that message? I'm sure for some of you that answered, I'm sure you listened to another one that had references to it. Not the original one. The original was in 1990. Cream your dreams. How, when you have a dream, find the best part of your dream. Take that one and believe it. Act on it. Leave the rest. Yeah. Even Solomon. Solomon had a dream that God spoke to him. The Bible says that when Solomon woke up, he discovered it was a dream. Why did the Bible say so? The Bible said so because after discovering it was a dream, he could have walked away and forgotten about it and not to bother about it because it was a dream. So he shouldn't take it seriously. It's like an idea, a thought. An idea comes to you. You can laugh about it and say, can you imagine? I had this idea, this weird idea. Then you share it with a friend. He laughs with you. But that same idea could come to someone else and that person acts on it. It's an idea. It's just an idea. But ideas have changed our world. So Solomon had this dream that God spoke to him and said, ask what I shall give you. And then he told God. And God said, okay, I've given it to you. You're going to be wiser than everybody. And then he woke up. The Bible says when he woke up, he discovered that it was a dream. You know what Solomon did? He found out it was a dream, but he held on to it. He went to the house of God to offer a sacrifice. He gave offerings over the dream. Then he called his friends and shared with them and celebrated through a party over the dream. It was a dream. He didn't need to take it seriously. So here you are in the afternoon. You drift away in thought. Then this amazing thoughts come to you, and then somehow you will like, I know I'm daydreaming. Then you just come back and you're saying to yourself, land, land, land. Those things never happen. How can a man dream that God said, I've made you wiser than everybody? Then he starts celebrating. Listen, he doesn't have evidence. There's no evidence. It was a dream. There's no evidence. He can't say, God put this thing, see what I received in the spirit. He can't produce anything. So they're going to think him stupid. He calls for a party. He says, I had a dream. And God told me I'm going to be wiser than everybody. And they're looking at him like, really? And there's a party. There's really a party. after he's offered something before God over the dream. So they start watching him. Then he starts out making judgments that astound people. Until a world acclaim, the wisest man in the world. And the Bible says all men resorted to Solomon to hear the wisdom in his mouth. Wow. That's amazing. Remarkable. So, you are in an unlimited environment. That's number one. You're not limited by that office. You're not limited by that office. You're not limited by that country. Come on, my friend. Unlimited environment. Say, I play in an unlimited environment. Unlimited. And here's what I wrote here for you. As far as your mind can reach, real or virtual, far or near, your work is global and so are your finances. You're in that office, that small office, but that office, your work is global. We're doing global things from here. You're a part of a global force. Ask those working in the United Nations. They will say they're working for the whole world. Their office is in one location somewhere. From that place, that office, that wherever it is, they declare that they're working for the whole world. And they don't even cover as much as we do. I love what Pastor Diola was sharing with you today. She started out on that talk show with a story she said she just read about these three guys. Okay? The one who said he was building what? He was laying bricks. He said he was laying bricks. They asked the other one, what are you doing? He said, I'm building a wall. The other guy, what are you doing? I'm building a cathedral. Every one of them could have said the same thing. Because that's the truth. But they were myopic. I've met certain people. When you ask them what you do, after they're done telling you what they do, you think they own the company. This guy just has one assignment somewhere, one desk. Because you send someone to go and see him the next day, they find him in one desk. This is the guy that told you about their company. You thought he owned it. Yes, he had a global vision. That's how you speak. I said, well, what do you do? Say, I lay bricks. What do? I build walls. The other guy says, I build cathedrals. Number two, unlimited resources. Say, my finances are coming from everywhere. I'm managing money everywhere. As far as my mind can see. As far as my mind can reach. Both real and virtual. You see that? Real and virtual. Virtual. The real are the ones that are saying, well, our senses can touch and reach, but they're virtual ones. Free your mind. It's the year of redemption. Free your mind. You're about to make your department prosperous. I told you in the first one, I said, learn to see money in everything. Start seeing money everywhere. Unlimited resources is number two. The second idea you must have. Unlimited resources. Now, let's first understand, what's a resource? When you say resource, what does that mean? It means any new or current quantity that can be drawn upon to produce wealth. Any quantity, new or current, that means it's been there or it's newly discovered, that can be drawn upon to produce wealth. And I use the term quantity for a reason. What's quantity? Quantity just means anything that has magnitude and can be expressed in mathematical terms as a variable or a constant. So I said to produce wealth. Of course, wealth can be measured, right? Wealth can be measured. And my deliberate use of the term quantity was for the purpose of also explaining wealth. Because then wealth can then be simply defined as any quantity that has economic utility. So when we say that you can draw upon such a quantity to produce wealth, it means that you can produce something, okay, of some magnitude with economic utility. That means it has economic use. That just explains resources, which means, by this definition, it means that I can actually create resources. You see, so I come to a point, I say, oh, I have unlimited resources because I'm not limited by what those people call resources. I can create new resources. By this simple definition, free your mind. This is the year of redemption. Extricate your mind from that cocoon. So it becomes your year of innovation and productivity. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. So number three, unlimited amplitude. This is really remarkable because when I'm thinking of unlimited amplitude, I'm thinking a latitude of amplitude. All right? And that's not a rhyme. Do you understand what I'm saying? I couldn't find a word to express what was in my mind better than to give it to you that way. Okay? When I say unlimited amplitude, I'm thinking a latitude of amplitude. That means unrestricted magnitude. Can you see that? Meaning that I am free to think big. We're thinking of copious abundance. Almost sounds like tautology, but it's not. Which means I can go as big as I choose when it comes to finances. Think of it, because my environment is unlimited, my resources are unlimited. Now I can see. I have a latitude of amplitude. Ample, you know what? Ample, when you have an ample supply. Right? It's dealing with magnitude, size, and expanse. Think of width. So with this, you think you understand the independence of finance. Three ideas for the independence of finance. You suddenly arrive in a different arena of play. Let's see those who are going to enter this in the first 6 months of the year. Let's see. You see what's about to happen. You're getting ready for God to use you in the kingdom. You know, the CEO told you something. How to think, okay, for the ministry. Ideas come to you for the ministry. If you think like that, you'll be ready for kingdom explosions. But if you think, you know, personally, there's such limitation. And think of this, as successful as you are personally, what will happen when you start thinking kingdom wise? What will happen? If you are this successful personally, what will happen when you start thinking in a kingdom way? When you start thinking for the rest of us? When God starts using you for the rest of us? Do you know how many the rest of us are? Do you know what it is to stand for the rest of? Do you know the meaning of the rest of us? When God starts using you for the rest of us, speak in tongues.
We believe that you have been blessed by this message. For more titles by Pastor Chris, download the Pastor Chris Digital Library. God bless you.